Okay, very good afternoon to all. Huh? I think we can start. Huh? So we will do the usual respect, then Sister Lee will guide us in the Heart Sutta. Huh? Then after that, we will commence the Theravada Puja. Huh? Okay, we first pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin, and all the worthy ones. Huh? Then after that, Sister Lee will guide us to pay respect to Namo Kuan Sing Pusa, then Namo Pen Su Su Jia Moni Fo. Okay, we will pay the respect first.
南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，波耶婆罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深波耶婆罗蜜多时，照见无蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。舍利子，舍不异空，空不异舍，舍即是空，空即是舍，受想行识亦复如是。舍利子，是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无舍，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无舍身香味，诸法无眼界，乃至无意之界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨多依波耶婆罗蜜多故，心无挂碍故，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃，三世诸佛依波耶婆罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知波耶婆罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚，故说波耶婆罗蜜多咒，即所咒业揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。 Thank you.
Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we will continue with the English translation of the Heart Sutta. We will chant together. Then the opening verse, later only we will recite. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all of Dhammas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled and pure. And they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, cognition, and formation of consciousness. No ear, no eye, no ear, no tongue, body, and mind. No sight, no sound, no smell, taste, object of tactile touch, or dhammas. No feel of the eye, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorant, up to and including no old age and death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no path, no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through prajna, reliance on prajna paramita, is unimposed in his mind. because there is no impediment. He is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and non-false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bodhisattva. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will start. The Theravada Puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majja pama dathana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully with the faith to all the worthy ones. Good afternoon to all. Just relax. Make sure you have the short notes. We will recite the opening sutta. Verses for opening a sutta. This heart sutta. This is a very good recommendation by Master Xuan Hua. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Here, Tathagata means the Buddhas, the Sammasambuddhas. So this is a very, very meaningful opening verse. Okay, then we continue with the short notes. The short notes are very important. Okay, the 13 Heart Sutta short notes. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta as discussed. First part is recap and emphasis on the previous session or class. So here I give a slightly different approach to the definition on heedfulness. This one is slightly different from the other short notes that you have. But the meaning is the same. So it makes it a lot clearer. Okay? So here I say heedfulness means a mind that is constantly meditative and ever mindful to develop the clear understanding and wisdom. We are seeing things as they are. Understanding the importance of heedfulness, we are understanding Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. So heedfulness is the most important. For those who are new, I think there are one or two. You need to slowly understand this meaning. Heedfulness means mindfulness. Not only you are aware, mindful. Mindfulness means without thought. Your mind is silent and aware within. After you have developed the training of the mind to be mindful, then you need to develop heedfulness. Heedfulness means ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, or ever mindful to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma as taught by the Buddha, or ever mindful to investigate into all Dhamma. So that you can realize the truth and the enlightenment. So when you have heedfulness, means you are ever mindful, your mind is silent, there is clarity. Then you can see things as they are. And when you see things as they are, you see the truth, the reality, not what your thought tell you, not through the images and your thinking process and your mental condition. You just see things as they are without any thought and without any conditioning. You just silence your mind to understand the truth, the reality. That's why the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, or in Pali they call anicchang, dukkang and anatta, you can see them very clearly. Then the moment you understand the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, or anicchang, dukkang and anatta, you can awaken, you can become enlightened. Your delusion, or what they call sakkaya ditti, wrong view with regard to this self or atta, can be wiped off. Because the moment you see very clearly who you are, what this five aggregate of form and mind is, the universal characteristics of all phenomena, may it be mental, physical, and nature's phenomena, they exhibit the same universal characteristic. They have this condition arising nature, causal phenomena. That's why they are impermanent. When there is condition, they arise. When condition continue to sustain, they like exist. But the moment condition cease to be, they cease to be. So everything that is condition arising will actually finally disappear. That's why it's impermanent. Because dependent on something, it arises. And that arising of those phenomena is dependent on the condition. And the condition behind all these phenomena arise, they themselves are also impermanent. So because of that, whatever that is impermanent, that is conditioned, the arising of these phenomena, they also have the same characteristic. They exhibit the same phenomena. They themselves also arise and pass away. So because of that, you will come to understand very clearly, everything that is conditioned arising have this universal characteristics of impermanent. And all this arise because it follows certain Nietzsche's law. The Buddha talked about five universal order, Pancha Niyamas. These are the five great universal order that governs all of life and existence. The first two are scientific law. We have already done this earlier on. The first two are what the Buddha called Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Utu means nature's physical law. All physical things exhibit this, what they call characteristic. They follow this law, Utu Niyama. Like all of element, physical things that you come across, they have their property. Like water. If you heat it up, under this atmospheric pressure, it will boil at 100 degrees Celsius. If you want to change the boiling point, you have to change the pressure. Yeah. Then if you cool it down to 0 degrees, then it can become frozen ice, or what they call, it will reach a state of hardness, like the frozen characteristic of water. You can call it snow or ice or whatever. Then for other elements, same, they have their melting point. Under this atmospheric pressure, you have this melting point. Then you study in science, physics and chemistry. They have their elements too. All these are governed by this nature's law, Utu Niyamas. Then you have the biological order. All of organic things, biological things, plants, the human being, the animal, all those that have tissue, cells. These are all another aspect of nature's grouping. So the Buddha called it Bija Niyama, means all of universe biological order, they follow this law. So the scientists, especially medical science, or those who study anatomy, botany, then even those who study about the human genetic type of study or engineering, all this follow this law, Bija Niyamas. So if you want to, let's say, produce something, you want to crossbreed, let's say, like certain plant with certain plant, it has to be allowable by this law. You cannot produce something that is not allowable, like the animal kingdom. You cannot get a dog and a cat, get them to mate, then expect to come out something in between. So far, it hasn't had this capability. But if, let's say, you want to crossbreed a German sheep, some other country, maybe temperate country, then you want to crossbreed with a Malaysian one or Asian, where it is more tropical in nature, it can be done. But you need to understand the one that come out has the characteristic of both. So last time when I was working for the university, there's one professor, very good. He was actually given the task to come out with this research. And he did it. Initially, it failed because they didn't realize the German goat or sheep, they are bigger size, their meat are different. Malaysian one smaller, tougher. But when you crossbreed, something in between come about. So this goat, it cannot survive in tropic humid country. So later on, he asked us to create an environment that is very cooling. Initially, we got to put them into aircon place. Then later on, we managed to find one very shady place. Then we built those goat house. Then we feed them that type of grass. What type of grass? Which is very nutritious for them. And it was successful. Successful. So all this is, if you understand the nature's law that governs the physical and the biological properties, you can actually progress very far. That's why the scientists, they have a lot of breakthrough. The last 30, 40 years, we advance so fast because we understand these two laws. These are the scientific laws. Then the other three of the five pancha niyamas, they are spiritual law. The Buddha mentioned them. He said, the first of the spiritual law, which is the third nature's law, is karma niyama, means law of karma. That's why this is a very powerful law. All of living beings, they are governed, their life, they are governed by this law, law of karma. They are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. They are what they are every moment, every instant because of this law of karma. So that's why this spiritual law is very powerful. When you understand this spiritual law, you are like the scientist. You have great wisdom and knowledge. Then you can actually progress very fast. The other two are equally important, but they are a different aspect of spiritual law. The fourth nature's law or universal order, the Buddha called it citta niyamas. Citta is mind, order of the mind. So all of functioning that arise due to mind or consciousness or the nature, they obey this law. They call it pancha niyama under citta niyamas. So citta is mind, order of the mind. So when you understand this spiritual law that governs all the working of your mind, then there is no such thing as psychic or miracle. These are nature's law. When you develop your mind that way, the mind can do this type of thing. It's nothing psychical or magical or magic. So when you understand, everything is just the way it is, nothing magical. But what the Buddha wants you to understand is not how to use this mind to create psychic. He wants you to understand how the mind functions. That's why he taught the law of dependent origination, the 12 link, paticca samuppada, that explains clearly to you how you function as a human being, how the mind upon contact with the sense door arises sense door consciousness. Then the moment you become conscious, what happened? That's why upon contact, feeling arise. Dependent on feeling, craving arise. Then dependent on craving, grasping arise. Then dependent on grasping, becoming arise. Then dependent on becoming, you take birth. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. This is how you entangle yourself into suffering, into all of what they call life misery. Your fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation, fear, depression, all come from this nature's law. Law of karma and law of the mind, because you don't understand this too long. Then the last one is, the Buddha called it Dhamma Niyamas. Dhamma niyama means all of nature's law, which is covered by all the truth that the Buddha teach, all of the Dhamma that he teach. Certain texts and books, they classify this as nature's occurrences. But nature's occurrences is only one aspect of Dhamma niyama. The actual truth of Dhamma niyamas are all the teaching. Like the Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, the Five Hindrances, the Five Mental Faculties, Spiritual Faculties, the Five Aggregates of Form and Mind, the seven factors of enlightenment. All this that the Buddha teach, the truth, the Dhamma, is covered by this law. So when you understand these three spiritual laws, you have right view. You understand correctly, clearly, how things come to be. Then you have wisdom. And because of that, you can become enlightened. So this is a very important aspect of the teaching. So now we come back. We go through verse 21, 22, and 23. Verse 21, this is the opening verse of the second section of the Dhammapada. Dhammapada, there are 423 verses that the Buddha spoke. All of these are about truth. The first category is the twin verse about the mind. There are 20. Then the next section is starting from 21 onward. They call it Appamada Vaga, means the section on heedfulness. So heedfulness, the Buddha's opening statement is very important, he said. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So this is a very important Dhammapada verse. If you want to really cultivate and become spiritual, if you really want to become the true disciple of the Buddha, you must train your mind to have heedfulness, because he already spoke and make it very clear to you. If you want to reach the deathless, eternal life, enlightenment, then you must have heedfulness, ever mindful to cultivate the wisdom. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. Dead means you are as if dead, spiritually. As a human being, you may not be dead. But spiritually, the spiritual life is already gone, no more. That's why the moment you are heedless, you suffer, you become miserable. You got no chance of escaping from birth and death. You got no chance of becoming enlightened. Then Dhammapada verse 22 confirm clearly what heedfulness can bring about. The Buddha said, distinctly understanding this difference, the wise one intend on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas or the enlightened one. The enlightened one during the Buddha's time, they are called Aryas or noble one. That's why the Aryan truth are the noble truth. So the noble one are the enlightened one. So noble truth are truth that can make you enlightened the moment you understand them. That's why the four noble truths are the core teaching of the Buddha, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Then Dhammapada verse 23 further gives 100% confirmation. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. So this one, constantly meditative and ever mindful, means heedfulness, understand not? Means throughout the day, you are always mindful, aware. Then you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Meditative means constantly meditating. So the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path. So constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, you have the four foundations of mindfulness, which is key, Satipatthana. So this one is very, very clear. So we finish the Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. Okay, now we go to part 2, the Heart Sutta. Dhammapada verse 1 leads to suffering, the twin verse, whereas Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. There is a spelling mistake on Dhammapada. Verse 2 there, I think the extra N, you have to delete the extra N. Dhammapada is D-H-A-M-M-A, no N. Huh? Hmm. Okay, I will read to you this twin verse. Then you will maybe make a note. Then you ask yourself, your life, what do you decide to have? If you choose to have happiness, then avoid Dhammapada verse 1. If you choose to be heedless, then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its effect. Then you will suffer. Whereas if you want happiness, if you choose to have happiness, then you have to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Then you will have to cultivate Dhammapada verse 2. So now we go into it. The Buddha said, our mind is very important. Our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. In Mahayana, you all have this famous saying, 一切为心造, 心造成的. Everything is created by the mind. That's why the third sentence says this. Everything arises from the mind. If one acts, speaks, and thinks with a wicked mind or unwholesome mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are the three evil roots. Greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have greed, means you have selfishness, you have covetousness, you have desire, you have craving. Hatred is all your anger, your envy, your jealousy, your unhappiness, your emotion. And delusion is all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your dislike and all those things. So these are the three evil roots. If you have these three evil roots, they will make you very evil. That's why I always remember, never get angry, never get emotional, never become selfish, never try to cheat, deceive, and lie. Then never develop the delusion to attach, cling, and grasp onto things. Otherwise, the Buddha said, suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hoof. So if you are heedless, you don't take care of mind. You act, speak, and think with an evil mind, a wicked mind. Then suffering will arise. Then Dhammapada verse 2 is the twin verse, opposite. The Buddha again let you understand, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speak, act, and think with a wholesome mind, a pure mind, that is free from all the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. So this is a very important understanding. Okay, then we go to the question. There is a question. Why the teaching of Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time different as it gets passed down over the years? So this is a very, very good question. So we need to understand, because during the time of the Buddha, there was no writing, there was no recording. So a lot of things are passed on through what they call by word of mouth, mainly through chanting. So the answer is because the Dhamma was passed down, we are using words and speeches. And words and speeches are subject to various types of interpretation, hence the deviation. Example, when asked about what is the first noble truth as taught by the Buddha, more often than not, we got the standard and very popularly accepted answer. What did you all normally hear? Life is suffering, isn't it? So now you have to inquire and investigate. Did the Buddha really say life is suffering? No. And this is a very dangerous misconception. Because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a first noble truth that talks about suffering or dukkha. He never said life is suffering. Then after that he said, There are eight conditions in life or realities of life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. Understand? Not? If you have wisdom, suffering need not be. So this is a key point. That is the realities of birth, getting old or old age, sickness and death. These are the first four of the eight conditions. So this one very clear, very easy to understand. The fifth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. The sixth one is when there is separation from your loved one and your prized possession. Things that you hold on to dearly, like your loved one, your property, your wealth, your money, or whatever. Then the seventh is when you cannot get what you want and when things don't go your way, etc. So no matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all of this reality of life and existence. So the moment you confront them, if you don't have wisdom, suffering will come to be. This eight condition, like I used to explain, under modern society, you have to slowly and slightly develop the understanding. Because if you recite this and talk to the new generation or younger children, they cannot understand you. You say, old age, sickness and death, birth is suffering. He look at you. He said, forget about it. I want to be happy. I want to live life. Don't talk to me about death and all those things. So this is how modern society will reject this type of so-called very dogmatic type of old teaching. But when you talk to them, you say, life problem, they look at it differently. Then they will listen to you. You say, relationship problem, health problem. Health problem he understands. Sickness he cannot understand. Then somebody commit suicide, like yesterday paper you saw, the doctor's son. What happened? 24 years old, medical doctor, yet he committed suicide. Then the other student in Penang also, he also hang himself and commit suicide. Why is this going on? Then you talk about relationship problem. They understand. That's why they commit suicide. They cannot get what they want. So you have to actually shift and move in accordance with the civilization. Then when you talk about the problems of life and existence, the reality of life and existence, then become clear to them. Means in life, you need to confront this reality. When you confront them without wisdom, like what the two kids did, or the medical student and that student, they cannot understand. That's why they have a lot of suffering. Without wisdom, you suffer. You become afflicted, the Buddha said. You become miserable. And you cannot free your mind. And that depression, that unhappiness can drive you to do stupid things and deluded things. That's how they take their life. And most of the time, this thing happens because they got nobody to turn to. Especially as parents. If you don't have a good, cordial and warm relationship or a communication channel with your children, if you are overprotective of them, you pamper them, you think with money, all the problem can be taken care of. You can be very, very wrong. Because you need to understand them. They are second generation children. They are not like most of us who are first generation. First generation, a lot of things we have to learn from life itself. Then we become more strong and more independent. Because our parents got no time to pamper us or too protective of us. That time, they are living from mouth to mouth, understand? So many children, so many kids. The financial situation was very, very difficult. So that's why everyone just, you have to survive on your own. You have to go and do what you need to do. But nowadays, different. because the parents are more successful, more wealthy, they have the means, they become overprotective. Boy, no need to do all this, we will get the maid to do. Then you don't have to trouble yourself, I will get the driver to send you, or I myself will send you. So they don't even know how to get all these things. A lot of these kids, they don't even know how to pay their road tax, their insurance, I tell you. Then where to get their things, they also don't know. But everything is given, provided. So they have this type of what they call conditioning behind them. If you don't understand, you call this love, understand? I love my kid, that's why I don't want to trouble them. I want to provide them with the best. But do you really reflect and contemplate? What have you done to them? When you do this, you actually create more problem. You make them very, very vulnerable. Less independent. A lot of things, they cannot actually develop the understanding because they are not given a chance to go through it. So a lot of things that is being provided to parents, so-called inverted comma love, can actually create more problem to them. They become like very, very fragile and vulnerable because they don't know how to actually develop that ability to stand up to all this type of what they call problems that they encounter later on. But everything is provided for. Then when there is problem, they don't know who to go to, who to talk to. But if there is a family that has this, what they call, very, very good family unit that developed a very close relationship, which is rather warm and good, then the kid, whenever got problem, they will come back and talk to you and discuss with you. But most of these modern days parents, they don't have this luxury of time. Most of the time they are busy with their business, their investment, traveling, touring, their own life. Then the kid is only left to their friends and themselves. Then a lot of things they do, they only receive money or materialistic thing. Then apart from that, seldom they have this opportunity to talk to their parents, to discuss their personal issue and things. So this is where, as parents, you need to be more sensitive, especially your own children, your own kid. You must actually feel them, monitor them. Then play your role as parent, not to overprotective and pamper them. Let them go out. Let them actually go through life. You only advise them. As parent, your duty is to provide for the basic need. Then you advise them. Your life, you need to decide how you want to live. You want to have the good life. You use the understanding of your Dhamma to actually share with them. There are certain things that you need to understand to develop the understanding or the wisdom so that you can understand life, so that you can live life to the fullest, so that you need not suffer, so that you need not become miserable. So this is part and parcel of parents' duty to actually guide them and train them so that they are no longer like before. Over-pampered, over-protective, that don't have the wisdom or understanding to cope with life. Okay, I will go on. The next one is, the Buddha then went on. The word when is wrong. The spelling is wrong. It's supposed to be W-E-N-T. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering. And the cause is always craving, born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be, because there is a noble truth that talks about the the possibility of cessation of all suffering in the here and the now. Yeah? So this is a very powerful noble truth, the third noble truth the Buddha proclaimed. Yeah? There is such thing as the cessation of suffering. All of suffering need not arise. When you have wisdom, when you have the ability to understand, suffering need not be. And you can realize the enlightenment, cessation of suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth. This is the most important, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering or dukkha. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and this is very important. Okay, after that is the important definition. 自在, in Mandarin, meaning 自 is 自己, me. 在 is here, in this moment. So me in the moment. But when the two words come to be, the meaning is different. 自在 is at ease, understand not? When you are in the moment without thought, you are peaceful, that's why you are at ease. Because when you are in the moment without thought, the true awareness, what happened? Without thought, there is no mental projection. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no unhappiness, no emotion. So that's why when you are with the moment in silent inner awareness, you are peaceful. You are beautiful. So this is a very powerful understanding. That's why you must be in a state of 自在, at ease. Then the second important definition is false thinking. You all call it 妄想, is it? Is it 妄想 or what? In Mayana Mandarin. False thinking, 妄想. Here the meaning is heedless thinking. Heedless means what? You are not aware. You don't have the right view and the right understanding. You simply arise your thought. When you are heedless, what type of thought do you arise? Heedless thought, of course, it's very easy to understand. What is heedless thought? Heedless thought means without heedfulness, without the silent mind, the awareness to investigate, to understand. That's why you simply arise your thought. You want to get angry, you just get angry. You want to become deceitful, you just arise that type of deceitful thought, selfish thought. So delusion is the same. You go and think the wrong thought, then you get a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then you go and believe your thought. The thought says something, you believe, you get angry. Your mind starts to stir. That's how you get yourself entangled with life. So heedless thinking condition wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that will condition your evil roots. Selfishness, your emotion, your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, and your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So all these are heedless wrong thought. The third one is, one is not right here. Means what? When you are not here means you are not aware within. You are lost in thought. So this is a very important understanding. You can only do one thing at a time. When you are not aware, silent, you are thinking. When you are thinking means what? You are preoccupied with what you think. Understand not? When you are preoccupied with what you think, how can you be aware? No more, is it? That's why you are no longer in the state of awareness or heedfulness. That's why the moment you are not right here, this moment, the mind has actually lost itself heedlessly in the heedless thinking. That's why you are lost in thought. Okay, then there is this same word. One is jue, The first pronunciation is 觉, means enlightenment, 觉悟, enlightenment. The other one is, now I learn, they teach me last session, 敲, stir, disturb, 敲, sorry, yeah, 敲. Sorry, I English educated, I don't know Mandarin. Or 敲, means to stir, to stir up trouble. So your mind is the same. When you are enlightened, there is clarity, you are silent. But when you are deluded, you go and 敲 your mind. So, you go and stir your mind, you create trouble. Shenhua said, to stir up trouble. I like this saying of the mind, 起心动念. That is a very beautiful one. 起心 means what? 起 is arise, the mind. The moment you arise the mind, you create thinking. You create 念头. 起心动念. You become heedless. If you don't arise the mind, what happens? You are silent and still. That's why you are aware and heedful. And meditation is just to understand this. 起心动念. Don't arise the thought. Don't stir the mind. Relax and silent. That is meditation. Then observe the silent awareness to see things as they are. Then the understanding will come. No need to think. The direct seeing will understand, will awaken from the reality, the pure perception without thought, without conditioning. You see things as they are. You will just awaken like that. That's why this is a very important understanding. Then we move on. Meditation, part 3. Training of the mind to be heedful. Two steps are involved. This one I have to rush through a bit. First, I teach you how to decondition your mind from your heedless thinking. Because throughout the day, you have been thinking a lot. Not only throughout the day, since you are born until now, you have continuously think, non-stop. Every moment of sense or consciousness, you think. Even in your sleep, you dream. Subconsciously, you also think. That's why sometimes you got fear inside. Nightmare, they call it nightmare. All this is come from your attachment and clinging that you deposit into your brain, your memory, it becomes subconscious. Then when you sleep, what happens? The brain, the mind try to find order. So he got to release all this attachment and clinging from your brain. When it try to come out, it manifests as fear. That's why it releases out. That's why if you don't have this type of dream, you become worse. You become depressed. At least this one release out, release out, release out. Then every day you get less and less. A lot of people think and think and think until they become so unhappy that it becomes so strong. You become so badly affected. Then depression set in. When depression set in means this one cannot release fast enough. So throughout your day, this one come out as thought. You think the same thought. The wrong thought that create your depression. That's why they are caught in the cocoon. You call it cocoon of thought. Cocoon means the thought entangle you, understand? That wrong thought, the same type of thought, because the same pattern of thinking, then you enter depression. If all this can release, you won't enter depression. Then when you have wisdom, you can just laugh at it, accepting as they are, then you move. You need somebody who understand to explain to you. That's why some of these people, they tend to go to psychiatrists. But the problem with psychiatrists is, please, don't qualify and don't go and quote me. There are some good psychiatrists, no doubt about that. But more often than not, most of them, because they also cannot bring you out of the situation. So what did they do? Most of them will give you anti-depression pill. Understand not? try to make you sleepy, doze you off, so that you don't think so much. But then what happened? You become so dull. But this thing will not go away, because it is still haunting you. So the moment you become conscious again, this thought will come back to you, because you don't have wisdom. So that's why it's only temporary. Or they will auto-suggest to you. They do hypnosis. Then they condition you into the belief that through the hypnosis they diagnose something. You become like that because these are the things that disturb you. If you believe it, then it can bring about a period of what they call, like you recover. Understand now? But then if the root cause is not understood, it will come back. It will come back. So you need to understand the mind. Wisdom is very important. Okay, now we go on. In order to decondition all this thinking, the heedless thinking, what I suggest is there are two steps. The first step is you train your mind to be silent. Means feel, don't think. That's why the mind sweeping method is very important. You just feel, then you relax. Feel, relax, you don't think. The moment you feel and relax, you decondition your mind, understand not, from the heedless thinking. Then you become more and more peaceful and more calm. Then if you cannot do it, you radiate metta. Metta is very important. When you have metta, you wish yourself well-being and happiness. You suddenly, from a negative state of emotion, sadness and unhappiness, you suddenly become like happy, understand? Because the metta is something that will make you peaceful and happy. You will recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness inside you, all yourself, understand? And this is the one that reverses all the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the unhappiness, the restless mind. So that's why metta helps a lot. The moment you have joy, means what? You are relaxed, understand not? There is positive energy, your immune system come up. The opposite of it is all your wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety and unhappiness. And this is the one, the very, very negative type of thought, especially your fear. The energy is so negative, it will cause your immune system to go down. That's why all those who are depressed, unhappy, they easily get cancer. They easily entangle themselves with certain type of disease. Stress-based disease. Cancer is one of them. And it's very common. Then if metta also doesn't help, then you need to use the 6R. 6R is very important. I explained to you all before already. You feel when there is tension, if this tension cannot go away, even after you radiate metta, then you need to apply the 6R. 6R means you recognize that the mind has stress up, there is tension, there is tightness. What must you do? You don't have to do anything in that. That's why when you recognize that there is tension because your mind is there, there is attachment and clinging, you only need to release it, understand not? Don't have anything to do with it. Just release it. Don't go and fight it. Don't go and do anything to it. Just understand that there is tension, there is tightness, you just release. Then what you do? Relax. So that step is actually like your mind sweeping method. Except the mind sweeping method says feel. Feel, it didn't tell you release, you don't know how to release. When you feel, you hold on to it. That's all. That is where the problem comes back to you. So if you don't know how to feel and don't think, then you don't know how to relax, then the problem is still there. But when you have this understanding that whenever you recognize that there is this tightness, there is this tension and stress within, you need to only release it. Don't hold on to it anymore, the mind. Then the moment you release, you just smile, relax. Understand? Then the moment you relax, the stress will slow down, disappear. So the sixth hour is very important. The moment you recognize, you release, you relax. Then after that, he teach you how to re-smile. You must smile. Understand? The moment you smile, you relax further. Understand? Then he say return and repeat. You don't repeat. You can return to your awareness to feel whether there is any tightness or tension or stress within. You can go back, return. If you are doing anapanasati to train your mind, then you return to the breathing. Continue, understand that? Then you don't repeat this type of thing. You just aware and silent your mind. Finally, you don't continuously do this type of thing. You only do when there is this tightness and tension. Because you don't know how to decondition your thinking. You don't know how to relax your mind. But the moment you know how to do that, then don't do anything. Like the swimming. The float initially assists you to float. But the moment you know how to swim, you let go of the float. Understand? Don't hold on to anything. Just silence your mind. Then the meditation will move to another level. So, mind sweeping method, combined with metta and the 6 hours, then finally when you have already developed the mindfulness, you develop the stability of that mindfulness through the anchoring of that mindfulness to an object of meditation. You can use your breathing or whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. You can anchor it to your heartbeat. You can anchor it to your hand movement, dynamic meditation, or your abdomen rising, falling, or chanting, whatever that you are familiar with, any of the skillful means. Then after that, finally, the second step is you silence your mind to be heedful within via letting go of the object of meditation. That is, mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful. So that is the key. So the explanation below is just to let you have a better understanding. The mind sweeping method is very good and useful because it trains you to feel and don't think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness and stress within. To enable you to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness to realize the tranquility, the peace, the quietness and the calmness within. When there is no thinking. This is very important. Understand this, then you will know how to meditate. Then your mind will be peaceful, at ease and without thought. Hence, deconditioning you from your habitual heedless thinking and worrying. So this is the repeat of the earlier advice, except I put it in another way so that you can understand it clearer. Okay, now we finish off with the short note. We will go to the commentary by Master Xuan Hua. We are at page 25. Page 25. Okay, page 25 is what is meant by sentient? Sentient being. Be careful. Not to misunderstand the text here by hastily repeat that the word sentient means this Mandarin word. I need you to help me. Yu qing. Yu qing is what? Wu qing. Gam qing is qing. Not si peng yu is qing. This is wu. Yu. 不是那个朋友的友啊，这个是友的友啊，无情啊，友情啊。You mean sentient being in Mandarin is called 友情啊？啊，不是众生啊。Well, the word sentient is sentient being, you know. You mean in Mandarin is called 友情啊？ It means emotional love, Then 情爱 as the Chinese character can be interpreted in another context. So there are two ways to describe this sentient, is it? Correct or not? Okay, and maybe I read through Xuan Hua one, then we can discuss it. Huh? Xuan Hua said no. To enlighten sentient being is to empty yourself of love. You must see love as empty, that is, to be a bodhisattva. Yeah. So this one is, I believe, based on the English translation, means you must understand the meaning of love or metta. What is metta? Metta is universal love, not the emotional love, understand not? Emotional love is qing ai, or God love, yu qing. So that's why he said no. To enlighten sentient being is to empty yourself of love. Here he is referring to the emotional love, or the mundane type of love. You must see love as empty. Empty means universal love without the desire, understand? Without the lust, understand? So this is a different type of love. Without attachment is another one, understand? So this word metta is different from your traditionally used what they call the human being's concept of love. I love you, understand? I love my son, my children. That type of love is not metta. Metta is universal love without the opposite, no hatred. Whereas your that type of love, when they are small, very cute, you love them. When they grow up, don't listen to you, you hate them. That is not the type of love, understand? Where yours is conditional love. Conditional love means dependent on the situation. If they are very filial piety, if they really, really don't go against me, if they take care of me, they say good things about me, I love them. They are my good children, my son, my daughter, my loved one. But the moment they go against you, you develop emotional negativity. Understand? Then you start to have this dislike, hatred towards them. Then you blame yourself. Why? After I have spent so much time giving them all the education, all of the necessity of life, send them to school, give them the education, care for them, provide all the parental love to them. Then when they grow up, the Chinese always say this word, got wing already, can fly already, they become like that. So this is how you look at it, because you do not know the nature's law that governs life and existence. There is such thing as law of karma, understand? You reap what you sow. In the past, if you don't have such condition, you will not have children that will do this to you, because you must have done this to your parents before, past life. That's why now there is condition, you reap what you sow. And now you understand how, when as a child, they do this to their parents. Because last time when you are a child, like your son now, he doesn't know. To him is, he just want to survive, understand? To him, he is selfish. He just want to do things that will bring about, maybe, to him is happiness. He just want, very selfishly want. That's why he can get angry, he can threaten you, he can do all those funny things. Then sometimes the worst one is when they go and get a wife after they get married, worse still. The mother-in-law got so worked up. They feel that now my son spend less time with me. Love the wife more than the mother. There is a saying also that want the wife, doesn't want the mother. I don't know how you say it. Grow up already. But you cannot blame anybody for what happened. Like the Buddha said, we are born out of karma, head to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if you have wisdom, if you know how to actually understand the reality of life and existence, then if you have the Dhamma, the Noble Eightfold Path, your son will like you, your daughter-in-law will like you, I tell you. But because you don't understand, you develop the wrong thought, the envy, the jealousy, the hatred. Last time young, that time love. Now, what happened to that love? Because you saw he spent more time with the girlfriend. Forgot even Mother's Day, your own. So-called Mother's Day. That sometimes your birthday, you expect the kid every time remember your birthday. They were after married, mother's birthday also forgot. That's why they get so worked up and so angry. A lot of these people talk to me, came and see me. Then I explain to them, why are you like that? Because your happiness is dependent on what your son do, understand or not? That's why you suffer. You become very, very vulnerable, fragile. Because your peace is dependent on the world and what you see and perceive of the world. You got expectation. You got craving. You want things your way. You think you raise him. You are the parent. Your children must remember your birthday. Spouse also same. They say the worst thing to forget is what? The first anniversary. You forgot your wife's birthday. You forget your own marriage anniversary. A lot of people suffered hell because of that. Because to those who are very committed to this relationship, they view it that way. Understand? No? So they put in the measurement. If this also you don't remember, means you are not serious about our relationship. Understand? No? But all this is nothing to do with the Dhamma. Understand? No? Of course, you have to be sensitive. But you must know life is life. Understand? No? Sometimes too busy, they can forget. But in a way also, you are not that serious. Right? So that's at least the first few years, remember. Then buy flower, make them happy and good. Otherwise, you create unnecessary misunderstanding. If you want your kid to be good to you, you must be good to them. Always remember that. If you create wrong thought and negativity, what will happen? Dhammapada verse 1, just now we just went through. You act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, evil mind, that arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Suffering will then follow you, like the wheel that follows the hood. So if you want to have happiness, means what? Follow Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Have good thought. Say good thing. Arise the right speech, pleasant speech. Then do the right thing. Don't go and make things that lead to misunderstanding, or they call in Cantonese what? Gao wo sai. You create a mess out of it. Because you think you want to take revenge, you want to teach your daughter-in-law a lesson, so you go and do certain things. Then backfire, they came to know. So all this is what is going to happen when you are not truthful, not sincere, when you have a motive, a selfish motive. You want to teach that guy a lesson or that daughter-in-law a lesson. Then you have seen certain show, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. There is a Cantonese series, Lai Lai and what? I forgot already. Oh, that one, the show, both also very cunning. The mother-in-law also very cunning. The daughter-in-law also very cunning. So sometimes mother-in-law wins, sometimes daughter-in-law wins. But end up both suffer because both also very strong character, understand? Yeah. So this is the part on love that Xuan Hua want you to understand. The true love is no jealousy, no envy, no hatred, no dislike. Metta is just universal love. I love not because of conditional love. You know what is conditional love? When the condition favor me, I love you, understand? Not? When condition doesn't favor me, love doesn't exist anymore. So they always say, you love me or you love my money? Or you love my beauty. See? A lot of people, they are what they call love. They are defined by different standards. Understand not? Because most human beings are selfish. That's why only the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva, they have this universal love. They have great wisdom. They can love all beings and sacrifice for them without expecting anything in return. You can even blame them, scold them, and say all those things. They still love you. They still actually radiate love and metta for you. They still invoke their wisdom to actually bring about peace, bring about understanding to the world. They still give. They just give. They got no negativity. That's why that type of love is universal. It's totally different from what you can understand through your own mind and your own thought. So this part is very important. That's why they can take sentient being across. They use the word to enlighten sentient being. Therefore, the verse said, his mind is thus unmoving, a superior one at peace. You know what is thus? Thus is suchness. So thus unmoving means there is no Dhamma that is not thus. Means thing is just the way it is, suchness, understand not? Thus. All Dhamma are thusness, means suchness. Dhamma and all affliction and trouble have disappeared. To be unmoved is to have the power of samadhi. Now you understand what samadhi is. What is samadhi? What is samadhi? Unwavering and unmoving mind. Means collected and unwavering. That's why to be unmoved is to have the power of samadhi. Because when you have samadhi, means your mind is unmoving, unwavering, collected. Born of wisdom. Doesn't the Lotus Sutta say his mind is at peace? To be at peace means what? To be at peace this way is to be very happy and to possess the great tranquility. You know what is tranquility? Very tranquil, very still, very quiet. So when you have tranquility of mind, you have heedfulness. You have awareness. When your mind is not tranquil, means what? Restless. Stir. Move. That's why you think a lot. Living beings think a lot. That's why their mind seldom peaceful, seldom quiet, seldom tranquil. Okay, we go on to the next line. With total understanding of the ever-shining. What is the ever-shining? What is the ever-shining? You forgot so fast. What is your ever-shining? Eternal life. Your Buddha nature, understand all? So with total understanding means what? Complete understanding, wisdom of the ever-shining. Means your true nature, your Buddha nature. He is host and master. Host means what? Means you own that place, isn't it? You are the host, isn't it? You play the host, isn't it? You are the master of the house, isn't it? So, with total understanding of the ever-shining, means when you understand through wisdom that you are not the thought, understand not? The five aggregate of form and mind are not you. They are the guests of the mind, understand not? You are the host. The host is what? Fully in charge, understand not? Fully aware. That's why these hosts, when they come and they go, you are not affected. Because you are the host. So don't be deludedly confused by what is happening. When you fail to realize that you are the host, you get entangled with the guest of the mind, thinking that that is you, that's why you can get angry. Understand now? The guest of the mind, like we explained last time, they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to complain. And yet, you allow them to complain and become so unhappy and miserable through what? Through your own delusion. You attach to them and you perceive them that way. They didn't complain. They didn't even say, hey, innkeeper, your room is very dirty, the toilet doesn't work, not like human being, they didn't even come and complain to you, and yet you don't know that you are the host. You got yourself entangled. You think that guest of the mind is you. That's why you go and perceive it negatively and create a mess out of your life. Understand? That's why this code is very important. With total understanding of the ever-shining, that nature, you become the host and the master. That's it. Finish. Understand? Nothing can disturb you. You are like the emperor inside, you know. All of your subject, the guests of the mind, they cannot talk, cannot complain. But you can make use of them, understand not? You can make use of this seeing consciousness and the feeling. That's why you can use it, the form and mind, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life and existence. And all these are available for you. That's why karmically conditioned for you, this body and mind, to live, to use it. But you deludedly think this is you. That's why you get yourself entangled. You don't know that you are the host behind. You can use this gas of the mind. And that's why I say, if you have this wisdom, the gas of the mind can be pretty interesting, pretty meaningful. Because off and on they come, allow you to have the condition to use them. Like, all the beautiful experience that you can encounter and gain in life. Light and sound. What is light and sound? All the beautiful things that you see and you hear, understand? Color, shape and form. These are the light. Then the music, the vibration, are the sound. That's why the whole world is so beautiful. The world of what? Light and sound. Understand? Instead of having the wisdom to experience them and to have the good life and the peaceful and happy life, you go and get angry with people and yourself. You go and perceive the world with all your delusion. The world never complains. Only you complain. But your problems start from where, you know that? Your problems start when you encounter another form and mind. This form and mind is no more like your guest or the mind. This form and mind can talk, can make you angry and miserable, like your son, your loved one. Understand? That is where you get into trouble. Understand? Like your bosses, they got mouth, they can talk, they can tell you all. That's why this one become a problem. But the animating, understand? The nature's phenomena that you see every day and experience, and the sound, the vibration, they are all nature's phenomena. That's why physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena, they cannot talk, understand not? But you deludedly go and perceive this vibration that come out from their mouth with negativity. That's why you have problem, understand not? That's why I say, for those who are already enlightened, who have the wisdom, there is no such thing as a problem. Now you understand that. Problem means what? When I cannot understand some life situation or situation, then I perceive it in negativity. Then it becomes a problem. Understand not? If I don't perceive in negativity, there is no problem with it. Your thing is just the way it is. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people say angry things. So I accept them for what they are. Where got problem? Understand not? Even if doctors say I got cancer, okay? So, is this a problem? If I perceive it negativity, if I look at it with fear, worry, anxiety, then it becomes a problem, isn't it? But if I perceive it wholesomeness and wisdom, I can just reverse all this. Oh, not too bad. At least now doctor confirmed I got cancer. I remember the Buddha says second turning. This noble truth of dukkha, suffering, is to be understood. Now I can understand. So, it becomes a blessing in disguise. Then you tell yourself, if I can understand this, I can become enlightened. So no problem, because this is the reality of this form. And this form is only element, not me. That's why with wisdom, you don't perceive with negativity. you still can go on live life peacefully, happily. You just arise the Noble Eightfold Path, right view. Right view means what? Law of karma. Maybe in the past I do a lot of killing, understand? I break the precept. I cause so much misery and suffering. So this life, I inherit what they call the primary affliction karma, understand? You remember last time we studied the primary and secondary? Yeah. So all this is going to allow you to have the wisdom to accept what is happening. Means what? My DNA is coded because I had this negative karma in the past. I do a lot of killing. I cause a lot of harm to people. I cause a lot of misery. So now, my body caused this suffering for me to go through. I reap what I sow. What I do to people come back to me. Understand? So when you understand all this, then you can accept the reality of the moment. You are always at peace. No matter what happened, the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. The only thing is you don't understand. That's why you react and get angry. You want things your way. You say, why me? Understand? What have I done wrong? I have been all the way, yeah? So kind, so peaceful, do all my duty correctly. I don't deserve to get this. Because you are looking at this life. And sometimes this life also you look wrongly. Because good according to you. You say you never do anything negative. But you cause so much negativity and harm to people through your wrong speech and wrong thought and wrong action. You never see yourself. Where you only see yourself, the selfish, egoic mind. I am right. This is my right. Understand? I have the authority to do what I like. So you justify your action, the way you go about doing things. So all this is going to create a lot of delusion. So karmic is something that you need to develop the wisdom to understand. So when you understand, your mind is different, free. Okay, so this part can understand, huh? I will just finish off this paragraph, huh? Maybe. Oh, so fast, huh? 4:30 something. Okay, it's okay, we continue, huh? He is host and master. You should have the total understanding of the ever-shining Prajna wisdom. If you don't understand, then you do not shine. If you do not shine, sorry, if you are not shining, then you don't understand. Huh? Means you have been deluded. Therefore, you should understand and then understand even more. Shine and shine even more. Yeah. That's why they say, make your mind radiant. Yeah? You should shine brightly in your total comprehension and totally comprehend in your shining brightness. That is understanding or wisdom. You should be very clear. That's why you must have clarity, wisdom. What is being very clear? Being very clear is not to be muddled up or stupid. If you understand that to do a certain thing is wrong and you still go ahead and do it, that is piling stupidity on top of stupidity. I think there is a Mahayana way of saying it. Isn't it? I don't know how you say it in Mandarin. Is it? You are doubly stupid. That is because you are not equal to being host. That's why I explained to you, because you believe the guest of the mind is you. Being host and master is being able to be in control or in charge. I am master, I am host, someone say. I tell everyone else to do anything I think they should be doing. Yeah? Because you are the host, understand? Like the emperor. I am not controlled by other people, but I myself control others. I won't do anything. So I just tell people to help me do my work. But I won't help them do theirs. This one is also a wrong view. Master Sena said, no, being host and master is not like that. To be wholesome master is to be free of confusion and never to do anything confused. Means no stupidity, no delusion. To be in control at all time is to have genuine wisdom. This is the more important one. Not like an emperor, do what you like. You are without prejudice. See? You do not discriminate. And you don't act on the basis of deviant knowledge and view. You don't take drug and you don't do anything improper or disruptive. If you act improperly, then you get a chance to take a look at stupidity. Okay, the next paragraph is to explain to you about the six abhinya. You know what are abhinya? Abhinya are special quality, or they call psychic ability. But they include the last one. The last one is actually positive enlightenment. The five psychic is the first five. The sixth one is the enlightenment one. That's why the Buddha called it abhinya. Abhinya means it comes as a byproduct. That if you happen to have that condition, all this will come. So, six types of psychic power are an ordinary matter. See? If you can be in control, you will naturally have the six types of psychic power. They are, the first one is what? Psychic ability of heavenly eye. You can see. You can look into the hell, the heavens and everywhere. Then there is psychic power of the heavenly ear or divine ear. Distant sound or whatever, you can hear them. Then there is this psychic power with regard to past life. Like the Buddha, you can recollect past life. Then psychic power with regards to reading the mind of others. You can read mind. Then there is this spiritual based psychic power, means you can create psychic phenomena. But everything follow the citta niyama, order of the mind. The last one is more important. You have this ability to extinct the outflow. This outflow is your defilement, your evil root, your delusion, understand? So they are all rooted out. That's why no more outflow. If you do not have the six type of psychic power, it's because you are not in control. Because you are influenced by all the external circumstances and you find yourself in. You are influenced by people and have no influence yourself to affect the situation that confront you. When you are able to turn situation around, then no matter what comes, you will be unmoved. Don't be bold and say that you already know how, because to be unmoved means that even in the dream you are not affected by the state of consciousness. That is to be host and master. If you are not affected by internal and external state, and you have real wisdom and the six psychic power, then you have a very ordinary talent working for you. Nothing spectacular, just something very ordinary. So this is what the Mahayana always explain. This psychic ability, you have to be careful. If you don't understand them, it can lead you astray. It can create problem for you. Then the ego can resurface. But you have the sixth one, then you are okay. The sixth one is enlightenment. Then just now he talked about the conscious and the unconscious. Even inside your dream, you are unaffected. Means your dream state, when you have this ability to be aware of all of your mind state. You can even be aware that the mind has created this subconscious dream. Then within that subconscious experience, you still have the wisdom. You are still not deluded. That's why this one, he said, is not influenced. You are not influenced. Because To be unmoved means that even in the dream, you are not affected by the state of consciousness. This is the part. Whether you are in your subconscious or in your conscious state, the wisdom is there, the understanding is there. Then we go on. Even less can the wind and rain of the eight direction cause alarm. This one, I think, in Mandarin is called the Ba Feng, eight wind. In Mahayana, they call by the other one, the eight worldly condition. We call the eight worldly condition. You know what are the eight worldly condition? You all haven't heard of the eight worldly condition. How many of you haven't heard? Oh. In Mandarin, the Pa Feng, you also haven't heard. What do you say? This is a famous Su Tong Po's poem. The eight wind, the eight worldly condition. The first pair is what? I better write down, otherwise you all cannot follow. What is the first pair of worldly condition in life? You will go through all this. The first pair is what? Gain and loss. Okay? The eight worldly condition. Or in Mandarin, they call the eight winds. The eight winds. The first pair is gain and loss. In life, it's always like that. Wherever there is gain, there is loss. True or not? Yeah? So I got one teacher, he very good. He said, human being, when you gain something, you very happy, isn't it? When you lose something, normally you are unhappy, isn't it? Miserable, isn't it? He said, before you gain, you don't have anything, isn't it? But when you are born, you come with nothing, isn't it? Whatever that you have gained is after that, isn't it? So what is loss? What is loss? You only lose what you have gained, isn't it? So why are you so upset, so unhappy? Understand? You didn't lose anything. Originally, you got nothing. Understand? What have you lost? You only lost what you have gained. Understand? But of course, you take overdraft, you take margin, and then you lose those money that you don't have. Then that type of loss is serious. So gain and loss is the first pair. So the Buddha says, you have wisdom, you can transcend. Means the eight wind doesn't disturb you. That's why Su Tong Po say, Pa Feng Chui Pu Tong, unmoving, tas tas. Understand not? The eight worldly condition, if they can affect you, means what? You don't have wisdom. You don't have understanding. You don't have Dhamma. Correct or not? Your heart can be disturbed, moved by what you hear, what you see, and what you think. So this is a worldly phenomena. Understand that? The eight type of worldly phenomena or eight worldly condition. So Mahayana also have the eight wind. He said, sometimes when you good luck, the wind blow, you gain. Understand that? When your luck not so good, the wind blow, you lost. Understand that? Tsunami come, hurricane come, wipe off. Or crisis come. The second one is what? That one is third one. Praise and blame. Second one is what? This is the third one. This one is every day you experience one. What is it? Happiness and sorrow. Understand? Every day you experience this. So the Buddha said, these are the worldly condition. We are throughout the day. When you get things your way, when things go your way, when you get what you want, you're very happy, isn't it? like you expect to be promoted, you get it. But if you don't get it, means what? Very unhappy. Just like your children, when they listen to you, you're so happy. Understand? When they no longer love you and listen to you, you get very upset, unhappy, angry. So if your emotion is dependent on how they behave, means what? You are very, very vulnerable and fragile. Eh? So they know how to make you miserable. Eh? Because you don't have wisdom. Your happiness is dependent on the world, understand? On what people say and what people do. So when you have the Dhamma and the wisdom, all this will not affect you. That's why they say the 8 worldly conditions will not move you, understand? The third one is very easy to understand. When you are very smart, or you do a lot of good things, people praise you. Wow, so and so, he's really good. He actually became so successful, so people praise him. Understand? But then what happened? Suddenly the newspaper come out and say something bad. They say, "Ayo, this guy actually cheat himself up." Then the whole reputation gone. People start to blame him. "Ayo, now people come to know." So when you are being praised, the ego get boosted. You are very, very happy. Then you like your head also stand out very high. But when you are being blamed, what happened? You get very angry. You dare not go out. The reporter chase after you. And you dare not meet up with them. The last one is what? The last set is what? Wow. You are so long in the Dhamma, you don't know this. Fame and ill fame. When you become very famous, like you become the prime minister and all those things, you have all the fame. Then when you make a lot of wrong decisions, you abuse your position and power, then you fall. What happens? You become ill fame. You are no longer famous. Understand? A lot of people in this world, they have all this. At one moment, a lot of fame. Next moment can just suddenly become totally wiped off. So these are all the 8 worldly conditions. The 4 paths. Then the Buddha talked about this very often. Then the Mahayana also talk about it through this poem by Su Tong Po. I will read you the poem first. Okay. And even less can the wind and rain of the 8 direction, Pa Fong, cause alarm. The wind and rain of the 8 direction refer to the last 2 lines of the famous poem by Su Tong Po. Su Tong Po lived from AD 1037 to 1101. Means 64 years old. He didn't really have very long life. I bow to the God among gods. His hair light illuminates the world. Unmoved with the 8 winds. See, this is very important. Unmoved when the 8 winds blow. Upright I stand in a purple-blue lotus. Means you are not affected by the 8 worldly condition. Understand? Whether there is gain or loss, you are at peace. Whether there is happiness or sorrow, it doesn't affect you. Understand? You are always in equanimity. Then praise and blame, you are not carried away. When people blame you also, you are not sorrowful. You are not unhappy. Then when there is fame, you just understand it is just part and parcel of the reality of life and existence. It is just a worldly condition. People can praise you. People can, like, say good things about you and make you very famous, the same people can actually blame you. There is no one that is free from blame. Do you know? The Buddha also was blamed. The Chincha incident, you remember? So, praise and blame is everywhere. Fame and ill-fame is everywhere. When you make a mistake, your fame go down. Understand? So, according to this story, it's very interesting. This part, I don't know whether we have time or not. Maybe I quickly go through. I quickly go through, then you go back and read. Then next Sunday is off. The class is cancelled because Achan Achalo's retreat at Champaka. We will resume the following Sunday. I run through quickly. Su Tongpo sent the poem to the great master Fo Ying. I don't know how to pronounce. I think I follow the English. I could have made a mistake. The Mandarin, I don't know what is it. I was just Fo Ying. Great master Fo Ying. And the master's reply was two words. The English translation is wrong, I think. Fat fat. Fang pi, I think. Basically say, you really fat. Fang pi. The two-word reply. As soon as Su Tongpo, the great master, following criticism, he couldn't get it out of his mind. And he rushed across the Yangtze. See? Straight away, he got so angry. He lived on the south side of the river, and the great master Fo Ying lived on the north side. To find the master and scold him, he wanted to tell the master that he has written an enlightened poem, the one that was sent to Fo Ying. Then what happened? He wanted to tell the master that he has written an enlightened poem. So how could the master possibly have replied, "Fat, fat"? It's just like you go and try to discuss something and you say, teacher, I got this insight. I realize this is so beautiful. Then you present. You say, rubbish. In Mandarin, it's, you fat. You fat means you talk nonsense. You don't speak through your mouth. You speak through your buttock. Fang pi. Then, in fact, when Great Master Fo Ying criticized him, not only did Su Tongpo fat, he blazed forth and wanted to scorch. You know what is scorch? Want to take action? Like want to burn him out, Fo Ying to death. So he rushed across the river and burst into the master's quarter without ceremony, means didn't ask for permission, and shouted, "How could you possibly scold someone and slander him that way by writing fat fat?" Means like a Dhamma teacher, you're supposed to have noble evil path, polite and all those things. How can you do that? So he thought he got a case. So Fo Ying's reply is what? Who am I slandering? I never slander you. You yourself perceive it wrongly, understand not? You say that you were unmoved by the wind of the eight directions. But just let go of two small fat, is it? I have blown you all the way across the Yangtze River. And you still say that the wind of the eight direction doesn't move you. You don't have to talk about eight wind. Just two fat, is it? Bounce you all the way up here. Then Su Tongpo thought, that's right. I said that. I'm unmoved by the eight wind. But two words send me across. Make me burn with anger, realizing that he still doesn't have the wisdom it takes. He bowed to the master and sought repentance. See? Those who understand, they ask for forgiveness, repentance. Then now here, you look at this translation, run a bit. You see, praise is correct. For example, upasaka. You are really a good person. You really understand the Buddha Dharma and your wisdom really shine. Furthermore, your genius is unlimited and your eloquence unobstructed. So this is praising somebody for doing a very good job in a translation. Then the pair, he said ridicule. It's not ridicule. praise, blame, actually. Ridicule means, yes, it's totally different. So ridicule, for instance, it is the scientific age now and you are studying Buddhism. Why do you study the old superstitious rubbish? Really ridiculous ridicule. And yet you think, turn to the next page. You are right. How can I study Buddhism now in the scientific age? Cause and effect. Know me and know you. How can such metaphysics theories be worth anything in the age of science? I am I, and people are people. You cannot confuse and are moved by the blowing of the wind. See, this translation run, understand or not? It's not praise and blame anymore, understand or not? They go and translate as ridicule. That's why I say you have to be careful sometimes. Master Xuan Hua is very good, no doubt about it. But I think along the way, the eight wind, it gets distorted. That sometimes the translation, they use the wrong English word. Where the disciple may not understand what the teacher say, then it happened. You look at the next one. The next one is correct. The next one is, also run a bit. Happiness and sorrow. Of course, you can say sorrow is suffering, understand? But suffering got many types, understand? But this eighth wind is about sorrow, unhappiness, opposite of happiness. So the wind of suffering make you suffer. To be unmoved while ceasingly performing ascetic practice is an example of unmoved by the wind of suffering. Actually, this one is somehow run, distorted, because they take it to mean a cultivator, understand not? The worldly condition is for the worldly people, understand not? When you have happiness, when you cannot get what you want, you become sad, understand not? Not the unmoving type, understand not? So here, happiness and sorrow or unhappiness is one pair. So if you look at the way they explain suffering, it run a bit. Quite a bit actually, not a bit. Happiness means to eat well, to wear good clothes, to have good place to live. Actually, in short, is when things go your way. Understand not? So whenever things go your way, when you can get what you want, you become very happy. But when you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, sad. These are the set of worldly conditions. Then the next two also, they go and interpret as benefit and destruction. You see, this is again, it's supposed to be what they call fame and ill fame. But I don't know how it end up become benefit and destruction. Benefit, you think, all I do is go to a lot of trouble cultivating. I don't even have any false thought. Consequently, people come to me and make an offering of $1 million to build a temple. And they are very, very happy. This is to be moved by the wind of benefit. So here, they interpret as benefit. Understand? But the actual eight wind is fame and ill fame. Understand? Let's look at destruction. What did they say? Perhaps the wind of benefit blew yesterday, but tomorrow people may come in and ruin everything. See? Fame and ill fame actually, but they actually interpret it differently. So it runs away. They will tell people, that monk is no good. Don't believe in him. He will do anything. Believe in me instead. So this is say bad thing about people, understand? Ill fame, understand? The first one is actually praise or develop the fame. You become very famous. Like your teaching spread far and wide, you become very famous. So the fame came to you. Then all of a sudden, certain event happened after some time. And then ill fame came, understand? So 5 and 6 also run. But the last two maintain, gain and loss. The first pair maintain. Those are the eight winds, the verse said. And even less can the wind and the rain of the eight direction cause alarm. It means the eight winds blow, but you are unmoved. Eh? You don't move. He rolls it up and secretly hide it away. When you are close, this sutta, you should store it in a good place, not a place that indicates your lack of respect. You should respect it. So this is how they interpret. Eh? And let it go to fill the entire world. When you open it, the wisdom of prajna fills the sixfold union, that is, north, south, east, west, above and below, which together represent the world. This prajna dhammador is very powerful. So at least we finish this section. Eh? So you got any question or not? Eh? The next section will be very good. Eh? You go back and read through it. This is about prajna and emptiness. Eh? So next section you go in, you will be dealing with what they call all of the various type of emptiness. Then I think after that the five aggregate. Then it will come to the part form is emptiness and emptiness is form. That will be a very good one. This is going into the actual core teaching of the Heart Sutta. Then after that, you have all the various types of suffering. Then they even talk about the Arahant. After the Arahant, the Bodhisattva, everything. They talk about the enlightenment of the Arahant. They still got outflow, but no more delusion, no more rebirth. But still got outflow. Outflow of a different thing, a different nature. That's why later on very interesting. So you go back, you read up a bit, then the next Sunday is no class. We have a break because of Achan Achan Lo's retreat. So the following Sunday, we will continue from here. Okay, now we go for the meditation. Do you need a break? Those who need a break, you can go. Maybe of the meditation, use it. Because meditation is very simple. It is not about posture. Posture is not critical. Like the Buddha said, you can meditate in any posture. But traditionally, most people sit. So if you can sit, you try to sit. But if you have problem with your leg or what, you don't have to sit. You can stretch it out and relax. Lean against a wall as long as you don't sleep. If you can relax your body and mind and silence your mind, then you can meditate. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. For those who are new, I will give you the instruction how to train your mind. You just relax your body and mind. To meditate, body and mind must in harmony. Relax means no worry, no thinking. Forget about all the problem. You just tell the mind, I'm here to train my mind to be peaceful, to develop the meditation. So anything that the mind wants you to think, you just tell the mind later, after the meditation. So by doing that, it will allow you to have the space to train your mind, to relax, to develop the inner peace, the silent inner awareness to meditate. Okay? Okay, now you can relax your body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then you close your eye. Close your eye. I will teach you the mind sweeping method. You feel your forehead. Don't think. Feel. Just feel. Maintain attention at your forehead. Feel. Check whether there is any tension, tightness or stress within. If there is any tightness, tension or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax it. Feel and soothingly relax all the tension and the tightness and the stress within your forehead. Then after that, you move your attention or awareness to your eye muscle. After a tired day, normally you are quite stressed. Your eye muscle is quite tense. You learn how to relax them all too. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you feel your facial muscle. Normally your facial muscle is not easy to relax. You tend to hold on to certain unhappy things. That's why there is this tightness inside there. So you need to actually relax, feel it. Every part of your facial muscle, feel it. If there's any tension, any tightness, relax, relax, and relax it. Then to assist you how to relax, you learn to radiate a radiant smile. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, smiling, radiantly smile. When you can smile, you have joy, you have happiness. The facial muscle naturally relaxes. So that's why I radiate a radiant smile. Then with that smile, you radiate loving kindness and metta to yourself. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Feel the well-being and happiness in every of your cells, within your entire body, or your organ. You can repeat two or three times. May this body and mind of mine be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite them, you feel your body, the well-being and happiness, feel it with your heart. Develop the ability to genuinely radiate that metta to your own body and mind. Then after that, you can continue. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May it too be without all those negative thoughts or wrong thoughts. May it be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it be without fear, worry, anxiety and unhappiness. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy within my heart. Then after that, you can think of somebody you love. It can be your son, your daughter, or whatever. You radiate metta to them. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart. May he or she too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they too be free from all karmic negativity, free from anger, hatred, fear, worry and anxiety. May there be love and may there be peace and may there be joy in their hearts. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then after that, you can continue to radiate this metta to all the Dhamma friends who are here. May all my Dhamma friends, known and unknown, seen and unseen, within this vicinity and all over the entire planets, may they all too be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness and radiate to them all. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be joy and may there be love. May there be peace within their hearts. Then you can radiate to all beings within the entire existence. May all beings, seen and unseen, known and unknown, throughout the entire existence and this vicinity, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness and radiate to them all. May they all too be without suffering, without any physical and mental suffering. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be joy, may there be love, and may there be peace throughout their life. May their heart be calm and peaceful always. May the blessing of the Triple Gem do with them all. Then after that, you come back to your facial muscle. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful, and more relaxed. Again, you feel, you relax all the facial muscle. Then you feel your neck relax, shoulder relax, hand relax, back to shoulder, relax every part. Then you move your awareness or your attention to your heart. Your heart or your chest area is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. Silence your mind and just stay there. But if you are new, you cannot feel. Your mindfulness is not developed as yet. You just feel the heart, like you feel your forehead. Then you relax every part. Then you move down to your stomach. Do the same, relax every part. Then you feel your abdomen, relax every part. Then your buttock, your leg, relax every part. Then you can slowly reverse the whole cycle from the leg, relax, buttock, relax, abdomen, relax, stomach, feel and relax. Then your heart, again, silence your mind, feel and relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, your hand, back the shoulder, your neck, relax them all. Then after that, you can feel your facial muscle. By now, it should be more relaxed and peaceful. You relax them all. Then you move it onto your eye muscle, forehead. Then you relax every part of it. After that, you are now more calm and more peaceful. So you can go to the next step. You learn to anchor your mind, stabilize your mindfulness or calm mind that you have developed through this mind sweeping method and metta. So, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You apply attention of your mind to your breathing. Feel in front of your nostril. You use your breathing to anchor your mind because your breathing is always in the moment. So the Buddha called this anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is training the mind to be mindful of this in and out breath so that the mind can be anchored to the breathing and this mindfulness can stabilize. So you just silence your mind and feel. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Aware means no thinking. The mind and the breath move as one. Like you feel your forehead, you feel the breathing. When it moves, you follow. The mind and the body move as one. Means the breath and the mind in harmony. Move. When you are aware of the breathing, there is no thought. But if you are new, there is this tendency for this mind to wander off. Expect it to wander off many times. But you have to be patient. Every time it wanders off, you just patiently return it to the breathing. After a while, it will become stabilized. You will understand how to train this mind. Then when you are able to stabilize this breathing, you just silence your mind and continue to be mindful of it in and out breath. After a while, if the mindfulness is been developed, piti will arise. Piti is a type of spiritual joy, a type of spiritual calmness. You will feel very good. You will like to meditate. Then as this PT become more and more intense, you continue to relax and become mindful of it. Then after a while, not long, the PT will transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a type of more intense peace. They call it spiritual joy or bliss. Very intense type of peace, very blissful. Then you continue to let things be, relax and silence your mind and allow the awareness to continue. Then it can accumulate into what they call paucity. Paucity is a tranquility of mind. The mind becomes very quiet, very tranquil. So if you can do that, it's very good. Continue to train your mind this way. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just silence your mind. Anchor it to the heart if you can. Then just observe the phenomena within. The five aggregates of form and mind. How they come, how they go, how they arise, and how they condition you into various reactions of mind. And you will also witness how your mind work and function. How the six senses, upon contact with the mind, arises the respective consciousness. Then how when the mind attach and cling to what it perceives, the mind react. That's how upon contact, the seven universal, which include feeling, comes to be. Then through delusion, you perceive it with negativity. The mind starts to stir. That's how craving come to be. That's why the Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origin, say upon contact, feeling arise. Then if there is no wisdom, if you don't have the yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, feeling will condition craving, automatic, very fast. That is how you get yourself entangled and suffering comes to be later on. So continue to train your mind and develop the meditation accordingly. I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. 10 minutes time. Okay. Then after that, if you have enough, you can slowly and mindfully come out of meditation. But for those who want to continue to meditate, you can continue. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are not, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and mindfulness that you have developed. These are very important quality of mind. The Buddha call it sati, mindfulness. When you are mindful, you can meditate. The first factor of enlightenment is mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot start. So mindfulness, to have this inner awareness silent, to observe what is going on, is very important. This is what you call investigation of Dhamma. When you have mindfulness, you can investigate Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. That's how you become wise. Wisdom can come to be. When you combine sati with Dhamma investigation, you are being heedful. That's why apamada, heedfulness, is to use this trained mind that already in sati to develop the meditation, to develop the understanding of truth, to realize the enlightenment and the wisdom. So heedfulness is to be ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So that's why this quality of mind is very important. Train the mind to be silent, to be aware, peaceful within. Such a mind, you should use it to live life. Carry this state of heedfulness into your daily life. That's why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So the meaning is very clear. You cannot train your mind to be heedful throughout the day, you cannot start the real meditation. You have not really followed the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, to train the mind, to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma. Okay, now I will open up the class for reporting. You can report to me your meditation, then I will guide you along. And you can also make use of this opportunity to ask me any question that you want to understand with regards to the meditation, also with regard to the teachings that the Buddha has taught. And the last one is to make use of what you have learned here in the Buddha Dharma to help you live life, understand life, overcome all of your problems in life. Okay. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Yeah? Stephanie, help to on the light. On the light. Anybody wants to report or ask any question? Make full use of this session. If you got any question or you want to report your meditation, you can. Andy, yes. Never mind, it's okay. How is it like? Okay. Then after that, disappear again. It's okay. You have to understand, different time, the mind and the body is different. So you have to check when your experience is like that before you come to the meditation today. How was your state of mind? How was your daily life? It will also affect the state of whatever that is arising. You see, meditation is something you need to understand yourself, because each and every one of us, we are very unique. So like you explained just now, the state like changing. Sometimes it just comes. Then you become quiet, peaceful, aware. Then after that, it like disappear again. Then some disturbance or hindrance come back. Then it come back again. There is this fluctuation. These are very common. But you can only stabilize your meditation if you were to do it throughout the day. Throughout the day. Means your daily mindfulness is very important. If you can develop this daily mindfulness until it's very stable, then when you sit, it's very easy. And most of the time, your mind is quite relaxed, peaceful, and calm. But then, sitting alone does not really help. Sitting is actually to help us develop this training of the mind faster. And when we already know how to sit, know how to meditate, it is a good posture to actually go into deep meditation. Means you silence your mind and allow the mind to settle down, to develop the deep state of tranquility, when the mind can be very quiet, very still, and very silent. You can go deep into it. Then you will understand a lot of this, what they call different state of consciousness. As you go through the different level of piti, sukha, and pausati, they're accumulating into samadhi. The mind is very different. Then when there is practically no thought, it is again very different. Then because our sense door are open, you will start to experience a lot of sense door activity when you relax your awareness. You allow it to reach the natural state of normal awareness. And then the senses become active again. There is this contact of mind with the senses again. But when you continue to relax and allow the stillness to develop, then samadhi comes to be. So all this can be experienced if you have the daily mindfulness developed. Then the stability of mindfulness will allow your mind to actually go deep into it. But what you have experienced just now is quite normal. Means in between, you are not so strong in the daily mindfulness. If your daily mindfulness are strong, if you do it continuously, then every time you come and sit, very different, very different. I still remember the early days. I tested it about 20 over years ago. That time, I do a lot of sitting, even while working. Early morning, at home, then when in the office, then lunchtime, then after office. But my daily mindfulness helped me. Because I have a lot of this daily mindfulness developed until very stable. So all my sitting, no problem. Very easy. Then I was so stable, so calm, so much so that I know nothing can disturb me already. Then I decide to come out and test myself. That's why that year, 1989, was a very special year. I decide to come out of the what they call comfort zone. I was in the government. That was a comfort zone. Even though you call it a comfort zone, it was a war zone actually, a madhouse initially. But I was able to do it. That's why it became a comfort zone. Then I wanted to come out to the private sector to test. So there were conditions. That new year, I remember, my classmate came. Then something happened. Then there were conditions. So I make that move. I decide to come out. So I joined the private sector, the consultancy service. And that field, actually, you have a lot of work to do. Because private sector is very different. It's not like government sector, very routine. My division is maintenance and development, very routine. But when you come out into the private sector, every job that you handle is different. It's not like an office, repetitive. So what happened was, initially when I came out, I was given a few projects. Then I come to realize that time that mind is subject to a lot of new things. Understand? I got to read up a lot of new things on the project and all things. Then I realized when I'm in the office, yeah, although I was able to do daily mindfulness, but when I need to read up, I have to use my brain. So memory. So again, this one starts to work again, starts to store up. Yeah. Then I come to realize, by the time I reach the end of the day, because private sector is not like government, eh, where you can sit wherever you like. So you are there to work. So it's not the same type of environment. So I cannot just do that. I can only sit if I come in early, then after office, yeah, when everybody goes off, then I sit. Otherwise, look very funny. Office still got people. This guy's like sleeping inside there on the chair. Actually, you are in meditation, but people think you sleep. So normally, during that time, when it's 5 o'clock, I'm supposed to go. But most people work until 6 or 6 something, sometimes 7, 7 something. So I will try to do until 6. Then I will go back. Then when I reach home, you know what happened? Because I'm very mindful. Wow, I realize my brain here very different. Because I read a lot of data going. Then I realize this one create thought. Keep on coming. Create, come on. Then I look, what is all this? Then I go back, I sit. Initially, like, very disturbing, like that, restless. But for me, because I understand, so I just let it be. I just silence my mind. Wow, the beautiful thing is, all this sankhara, because thought is respond to memory, it starts to slow down, slow down, slow down. So every time I go back, I sit, the first 3-4 minutes, it starts to slow down. But then after about 5-10 minutes, I reach back the state I was. So I become quiet and still again. That's why I understand how this mind works and how it functions. So it is what you do in your daily life that will condition your mind state. Even after I have so much training, I was so stable. When I come out to the private sector, because initially everything is very new, I got to learn a lot of new things. I got to learn how to do design. I got to understand the project. So a lot of reading. So that time, this one still create thought. It was during this period there was a very great test and transformation. A lot of things happened during that first 6 to 9 months. A lot of things happened. I cannot tell you now, later maybe when there is condition. Otherwise people cannot understand. They may misinterpret. A lot of things happened. Then after about 6 to 9 months, my mind different again. That time I realized, no matter what I do, it doesn't affect me anymore. Doesn't affect me anymore. But there was one stage very funny. I think after 2 or 3 months, when a lot of things start to happen, I realized I cannot read. When I start to read something, the inside tell me, if you want to suffer, you go ahead and read. Oh. The mind becomes so sensitive. Then the mind, like, it doesn't want to think anymore. It doesn't want to know anything anymore. Know also like that, the know also like that. Every moment of consciousness is suffering, the very fine suffering inside, you feel them very clear. Every moment of perception is suffering. Every moment arising of mind is suffering. That type of very, very fine type of suffering, also you can feel and you can see and can understand. That's why I was thinking, how come like that? Then the brain cannot, because it just tells you, if you want to suffer, you go ahead and use your brain. Go and read, go and remember things. So I was very lucky because that time I was already very senior. I know my job inside out. I understand the contract, the design, everything very clearly. So there were certain meetings, very, very important meeting, very high level meeting. So normally you cannot read, you will be in great trouble, I tell you. You go for a meeting without really going through the foul, you will get into big trouble. So what I did was, I just flicked through some important dates that I need to remember. Because at that time, the meeting involved the final account. I have to decide and advise them on the liquidated and ascertained damages. You heard of this? LAD. Yeah? If a project is delayed, there's LAD imposed. So I need to remember those dates. So I need to know from what date to what date the information were given. Then after that, that period, I need to take it up so that I will allow for extension of time. Beyond that, no more. So I only flick through a bit and get those dates out. Once I got those dates, I write it down. Yeah, I don't want to remember anymore. I cannot remember things. So I write it down. So I need to refer, I refer. The moment I see the date, I recall. I got one or two short notes there to just allow my mind to recall. But I need condition to recall. I cannot, like normal people, commit to memory anymore. That's why I realize what happened to my mind. I cannot use memory like the normal way. The normal people try to read, remember, then use this memory to explain to you and to talk to you. I realize I cannot. But this mind is so different already. It cannot hold on to things already. I cannot remember things. Split second, the thing is gone. That's why sometimes when I talk to you, I have to ask you, where was I just now? Because it's not from memory. Then I realize everything is from inside. So the understanding is so different. So that's why when I went through that phase, there was so much joy. Then after that, something happened to my mind. The whole thing just happened. Then this mind becomes so different. So different. Another new type of mind come out. You can call it by various names, but it's a totally new mind. A clear awareness, just pure awareness. The ever-shining nature just shine for, like the cloud all dispersed, no more. No more, nothing. The normal mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, so like collapsed, the whole thing gone. Then this ever-shining nature just shine for. Then for 1 week, very funny, I look at everything, so different. How come last time I never see all these things? My vision was exactly the same. But now, with this type of mind, it starts to see with so much clarity everything. That's why I say, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Because the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, is everywhere. In the midst of life and nature, every moment, every instant. For those who see, they always see. Never miss. Every moment, every instant, the characteristic is there. That's why I was so amazed. Things that I never see, I start to see. Even I look at nature, so different. Everything I look is so different. That's why when that stage, that phase happened, I just tell myself, how can I share? How can I let people know there is no way? That's why during that year, 1989, I think until almost 1990, that was the test I came out to the private sector because I knew something has happened. Then when I came out, that phase was very funny. That's why when I went through that phase, the mind totally different, totally different. Then I didn't do anything. 1989 until 2004. How long was that? 15 years. Is it 15 years? Until 2004. 2004, there were conditions. One of the sister Dharma friend, I think you all know her, Sister Yun Chan, there were conditions. She somehow bumped into me. there were conditions for her to come to my house 3 times. Every time she come, she continue to talk to me three hours or what. 8 something come, 12 o'clock only go back. He said, I don't know why every time I come I cannot go back until the husband call her. He said, I must go back, and my husband called. Then the condition arise, she requested 3 times for me to come out and share. 3 times all I say no. Because there was this what they call understanding that people cannot understand and it can create unnecessary karmic. Then after the 3rd time when I reject her, something funny happened. After she left that night, inside tell me, hey, the time has come, you must come out, he said. There is condition for you to share. I said, how come funny? This type of feeling come out. Then I reflected and contemplated, how can I mitigate that type of what they call possibility of karmic thing. Then the understanding came. It gave me the understanding. That's why after that, the next day I call her. I say, okay, I can come out. I can agree to the request. But on 3 conditions. Don't call it a talk. I say, Dhamma discussion. First one, Dhamma discussion. Discussion means what? No right, no wrong. I'm not in authority. I don't control the talk. Means, as Dhamma friend, we share our understanding. Understand not? We don't argue. No right, no wrong. I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what I am. I respect your cultivation. You respect my cultivation. Yeah. So that's why the 3 conditions was very simple. Means, don't call it a Dhamma talk. Just call it a sharing. That's why we started with Dhamma sharing. Understand not? That's why I always say, as Kayana Mita, we share. Then we are Kayana Mita, I say. The most important one is no right, no wrong. Then after that, the last one is whatever that can benefit you, take and use. Whatever you cannot understand, open mind. Then no problem. Then okay, I come out. I say. That was how everything started. So 2004 until now, 8 years already. Very fast, 8 years. So those were the what they call condition behind. So as you go through the cultivation, I just want you to understand, everyone is different. You don't have to be like me or what. You find out your own way because you have your karmic inheritance. You are different. You are unique. You are beautiful. And for you all to have the condition to come and listen and to develop this cultivation, you have your path. Otherwise, you won't be here. You won't be here. So it's a matter of connect. How you connect to your nature. Then the moment you are connected, when you understand, your mind determine, you will move very fast. Then you will come to understand clearly who you are, what your past is and all those things. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, 6 o'clock. So, any more questions or not? Otherwise we have to end. 6 o'clock. Do you all have any more questions? Did I answer your question, Andy? Yeah. Anybody got any more reporting or question? Maybe I take one last one. Han, how is it? Your full name is what? Oh, Han Mo Cheng. Okay. I saw your email, Mo Cheng Han. So I don't know what your full name is. Afterwards, come and see me. I got something for you. Andy also, I had to pass you something. Sister Lee also. Okay, if there is nothing, we can end. I will do the sharing of marriage with you all. For those who cannot understand, like Mr. Yap's wife, you just Hua Hi Sim Sadhu Le Isaila. You just rejoice, Hua Hi Sim. Okay, sharing of marriage with the Devas. we will recite together. Akasatta bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva jirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Dispensation is the Buddha sasana, the period where the Buddha Dharma is still around. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sitiya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed relatives. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to departed relatives, and may they all do be well and happy. Okay, let's invoke the blessing of the triple gem and goodness for the nation. Turn to page 119. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetocha vitto bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest, and may the world be prosperous and peaceful always, and may the government of the day, the ruler and the king be righteous. Okay, the last one is making aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Let's thanks, Brother Teo, by
yeah, rejoice, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, then you pay respect to the worthy one, the Buddha, Kuan Yin, and all the other worthy ones.